근데 여전 폐 안 만지세요?
내가 지금 끼워 죽었어?
아, 이거 아닙니다. 깜짝이야. 뭐야? 뭐야?
이런 씨발 개나 다 죽었어.
뭐야 이거?
합시마야.
이게 어디 와? 와!
오지마. 그래 나 때렸어. 이거 깽값이야. 어? 댐벼는 좋은데 니들 몇 명이야? 다섯 명? 니들 중에 두 새끼 나한테 뒤질 줄 알아. 어? 특히 너. 너! 어?
쇠사슬!
아 예!
너 나한테 빚이 얼마니?
623만 원 정도 됩니다.
높은 걸로 하고 저 갓나새끼 그냥 보내라.
아, 모르는 놈한테 왜 그러세요?
모르긴 해, 몰라. 잘 알지. 갈 때까지 간 놈.
This is Getting Past Subtitles. My name is Sean Peel.
And I'm DK Lee.
And welcome to gambling.
Gambling, just gambling.
Welcome to the darkest timeline.
The darkest timeline.
We've hit rock bottom. And we're in debt. And we need to get ourselves out. So the best way to do that is just throw more money.
Yeah, money makes money, right?
Money, yeah. Money makes more money. Money talks, right? Money makes the world go round.
Maybe.
No, we're doing a new series. It's all about gambling / games. And I do have to say, this first movie really, really felt in the theme. It really put me like in the mood of, you know?
Well, this was the movie that I thought about when I first thought about the theme for this series. So yeah, it should be the perfect movie to encapsulate it. Everything else after this one was an afterthought of like, how do we get a series together?
Right, right.
Actually, there is like a sequel and a
two,
another sequel after. Yeah. So there's also like a drama,
right?
That's based off this movie.
Mm.
So yeah, they really loved this movie.
They milked the series of Tatcha.
And I think they're gonna continue to milk it.
Seriously?
I don't know. Somebody will.
We're in the era of like rebooting old stuff.
Yeah, but this was the first one to come out, and I think for the time, like in the Korean movie space, it was quite refreshing. Like,
okay,
to see like this kind of movie, because you don't see it much. You didn't see it much in Korea, too much at least. There was actually another drama that was based on gambling, but that was more, like a traditional like cards, playing cards kind of thing.
Okay.
Not even. It was a lot of like gambling and like political kind of things going on in the drama.
Yeah.
That was also popular, but this one, this movie probably was like the big movie that kind of put that genre in its place.
Right. They put a spotlight on like this particular genre of movie. Right. What was like more prominent before that, but I guess like romance and like comedies, right?
I mean, a lot of different movies, you know, like back then, even thrillers and you know, all of that.
Crime. You and your gangster movies.
Gangster movies. Romance, you know, drama movies.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, like, this movie doesn't feel, I mean, it's a little dated, but it does it really well.
Mm.
Like, doing the gambling, like, heist kind of genre.
Yeah.
Like, it really, when I was watching it, like, I think the key word is, I mean, it's very, like, comical in a way, right? Like, it really plays to the genre really, like, really strong, but also pretty good. But in some, and like, So much so that in some parts it's like, it's just like comical. Like they really go at it.
Yeah.
As far as like when they do like hand signs or like they, you know, to represent like different tactics and like ways to cheat in the game, right? And sometimes like it's supposed to be sly and like smooth, but there are moments in this movie where it's like that's so obvious. Mm. Like they didn't even try to kind of hide it, you know?
Yeah.
But that adds to kind of the comical aspect of it in a way. Yeah.
Also it's also to make it more obvious to the audience, I think.
Right.
Because a lot of times when you watch movies like this that involve like a game or something like that, it sometimes it's hard for the audience to follow exactly the rules and everything within the game.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they already know it. So like having to have the audience understand it even without having prior knowledge of the game is very important.
Right.
For a movie like this, because a lot of times the payoff is the sleight of hand, right? Is that thing. But if you don't understand what's going on, then you're kind of losing the point of the movie.
Right.
And so it's kind of important that it's obvious so that the audience can know what's going on. But obviously, like, if it happens in real life, it's a lot more subtle.
Right, right.
Yeah. Ironically, though, I feel like, you know, like we talked, I just said there was like a sequel and another sequel after that.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic that the movies don't really evolve from this one to the other ones.
Gotcha.
And I think the reason why is they can only do so much with the ending of it, like the climax of it, right?
yeah
because it's always going to be, oh, the main character is in a predicament where he has this last big gamble that he has to do.
I owe money,
and,
or I need
and
to get
it's
money.
Always going to be that he tricks the big bad dude, right?
Yeah
and it always ends like that, you know what I mean? There's never really like a twist that they really like changes what happens. Mm. Especially in the other two movies that come after this. And so it's kind of disappointing in that sense, where it's like they really don't have anything else to make it a little bit more interesting for the next movies. A lot of times it kind of just carries on the name of this franchise, and they just
copy and paste.
Yeah, they copy and paste, but they just introduce like new like rising stars, or like, you know, new famous stars that, you know, are hot during that time, and they incorporate them into the movie, and that's kind of like their thing now.
Yeah
for this movie, which is kind of sad, because I feel like this movie, the first one, was very, first of all, it's very kind of, in one way, not necessarily grounded, but it feels very like of the streets, right?
Yeah.
And it just feels kind of like,
yeah,
it's something that like kind of
could go on,
right?
Right.
But I feel like it kind of becomes more and more manufactured as the movies go on.
Right.
Like there's a certain kind of charm to this movie.
Yeah.
Like that dirty, gritty, like not gritty, but like grimy.
Right. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
feeling to the movie.
Very,
whereas
like,
I
grifty,
feel like the other two feels a lot more like kind of nice and packaged, and then it doesn't have the same like griminess to it that really makes this movie like have its charm.
It just sounds like it's become like Fast and the Furious kind of right? Where it just ends up becoming a little
bit. But at least like Fast and Furious, like there's just more and more crazy crap going on, right?
Right.
Like you're like, this would never have happened in Fast and Furious 1, right?
They just, at the point, they embraced the
craziness.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like in this one, it's just kind of always the same. The formula is always the same. Mm-hmm. And then they really don't like push the boundaries of that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I definitely agree with that, though, because I had that thought, too, in the sense that, both parts, that the movie does have a nice weird balance between kind of being grounded, yet not grounded, where, like, it, like, obviously, just like I said, like, it's the comical feeling of it that kind of takes it far from reality. Yeah. But like we talked about kind of like the characters' names and like even just the characters themselves are very kind of archetypey in a way, right? And like I said, like it all just kind of adds a flavor and like a charm to movie, which is good. Like, you know, it is a movie at the end of the day. But like it also does a nice balance of like setting it in a kind of like semi world where like it just like paints this picture of like a world that you wouldn't see, right?
Yeah, like I wouldn't say it's grounded. I would say it's like just like that grimy, like dirty underworld kind of like feeling that you get from the movie, which you don't get from the other movies. I feel like like it kind of tries to do that, but I feel like this movie really did it well.
Feels a little darker,
especially like all of the like side stuff that goes on within the gambling houses, like, you know, like the the moment with the prostitute and stuff, like those kind of stuff just makes it like so much more like just
like this is the world that
a dirty, grimy, like, you know, kind of place where like everything goes on, right?
Yeah.
And like, you know, like those tents that they go into for the gambling stuff, like they're like in this little like weird like hill, and then
you like never know like where
you don't know where it is, but it's like some tent that they have in the forest, and like all these people come in and they like bet on, like they all bet, and when the police start coming, they just literally just rip the tent and just leave and walk down the hill. Like, it's so like
I love that beginning where it's like, it's like a huge like kind of tent or like shack on a hill, and there's like, it looks like hundreds of like people that are gambling, and it's just like a well-organized, like
well-organized, but so like dirty,
but still feeling, like, right? Yeah,
like, just like, but still so messy,
but they're like escorting all the people out. Like, there's a weird, like, organization.
It's like a chaotic order that they have to that, it's so to funny. That madness.
Also, what like adds is I love when they have, cause you're always like inside, right? And like, you kind of get the feel like, they all kind of look the same, like grimy or like very shacky, or like they're in some like abandoned warehouse kind of deal. But then as soon as they step outside, it's like broad daylight. Like, it's a normal day.
It's always daytime.
Yeah, yeah. It adds
almost always daytime.
It adds to that like weird elusiveness of
It's like that thing where, you know, when you go to a casino, like they never have windows. They don't have the time because they want you just, you know, just constantly spending, and they don't want you to see. And I think even the madam, she like says it too, she's like cover all the windows, like, do you do you want to have these people like gambling to the sun rising, right? Like, you don't want that in that kind of gambling setting. So yeah, I think it really kind of makes sense. Like, every time you come out, it's just broad daylight.
You're like,
I've been gambling the whole day. It's like the next day.
How long has it been? Has it been like days or weeks?
It's just another day.
I think I should call my wife. What's going on? But yeah, but that all kinds of adds to it. Yeah, it has a really nice, like, just that kind of, even like that indie movie kind of vibe to it as well. That it's really well made. I did feel too that, kind of what you said about the sequels, I definitely questioned how did they put two more movies after this, because it feels such a one-off movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, there are some couple of like loose
called money threads.
This is true.
It's called Let Me Make Some More Money.
But what puts me back,
I think I forget if it was the sequel, but I think the sequel is the one where it's Connie, the main character's like nephew or something like that, who you know, takes up, you know, becoming a professional gambler.
There's no nephew in this movie, though.
No. So you can see how
they're just like,
we gotta write something up.
Yeah, we gotta he didn't have a nephew. We'll give him one. Yeah, we'll do that. All in all, I think this movie was pretty good. It's really entertaining.
Your first watch, right?
My first watch for Tatsuya. I really liked it. I really, like, it came down to, I was watching it and like the beginning was like okay, but I wasn't really hooked until like about the third way in, where, because it's like set in a present day, and then we kind of have like the false narrative situation, and then we go into like a really long like flashback, and then that kind of sets up back to the present day with like kind of like the real story, like the real goal,
what's going on.
So once we get to the flashback and he starts, and Goni's training under Pyong,
yeah,
that's where I got really hooked more in, and I think the story became a lot more engaging. But then it kind of plateaus and kind of teeters a little bit by the end. But it was an interesting relationship that I had with the movie. Mm. Like I was saying earlier, there was quite a few things that I think I was a little convoluted about, or like I thought it was one way, but then when I went back to kind of like review, like it was a different way. And I just found myself, I think, letting go of like trying to pay attention to the to like the threads and everything, and just kind of experiencing the movie. And yeah, I think the movie is better when you just kind of shut off your brain and kind of watch it, you know?
Yeah, there is a lot of moving parts to the movie, especially when you're watching it through subtitles.
Right.
And I think the movie is fairly long too. It's 2 hours and like 20 something minutes. It's
long, yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces. And sometimes I wonder, like, maybe they could have cut it down a bit.
For sure.
Made it a little bit more concise.
Well, here's my biggest thing, I think, with that is Madame Jung, where I can see, like, she's vital to the story, or, like, you know, for Gonia, she, like, kind of is obsessed with him and, like, takes him under wing, and then, you know, they have that whole arc. But then, like, after she comes out of prison, she has a whole, like, side story with the other guy, right?
With who?
With Hoku.
Oh.
Who's like the rich guy, right? Like she gets kind of like the orders right after. And we spend a lot of time with her basically, like, I was like, how does that connect to the grander scheme of it? And it kind of doesn't. Like, we're just watching her do her job.
Well, she's trying to set up something. Yeah, basically she's trying to, you know, get more money, right?
Right.
But then later on what happens is basically Aki, the guy, the big baddie, he kind of wants to
in on have money,
and he wants to have, you know, basically he wants to have a meeting with Kony,
right?
And so he uses that that dude and that, you know, gambling meeting as an excuse to have him come in.
But it was like, it's so situational though, you know, so it's
very specific. What was happening was madam wanted to have Kony as the tatcha there.
Right.
She wanted him as the as a professional gambler there. But then, you know, he was doing his own thing.
Yeah, he was whatever.
Trying to be a good boy.
But then she ended up with the other guy.
Yeah.
Instead, because everything went to shit.
Yeah.
So I mean, it all connects by the end, like all the, because they're like separate pieces, and then they all like, by situation or chance, kind of connect, and then it draws back Goni to that table.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just situational, and it didn't really, like, for me, I was like, because in my mind, I thought Jung was, she was doing it to track down Goni again, because like she had lost him after her operation like shut down.
Yeah.
And then he was gonna go after Akui basically. So I thought she was like doing this whole thing to like get him back, seemed like her motivation, but then I realized that wasn't her motivation.
I think for me, in terms of the Madame Jung's motivation, I think what was the weakest was like her reason to kill
that
to kill Kony's master, Kony's teacher,
Pyong.
Yeah, it was weird because like basically her reasoning was, he kind of looked down on her, and he's been doing that for a while. And if he was still alive, he's gonna, you know, take Kony away from her. But I don't know. It just never really felt like that.
That's not
like he was already like not really listening to the teacher, anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like he already went to you, and he was already doing stuff with you, right? Exactly. Like he was already like, you know, doing the gambling stuff with you. So it's not like he...
It was his death that did the opposite of what you wanted.
Yeah, it was his death that made him, like, leave and made him trying to figure out what happened, right? Right. And so it's kind of that weird, like, ironic, like, motivation that she has. But, it just totally backfires.
I think, like, the twist of it... I thought like the twist of it was fine. Like, oh, it was actually
Madam instead of Aki.
Like it plays to, I mean, it, like it works in like the movie as a whole, like backstabbing and like her words are the people that you trust most are the ones that backstab you first. Like all that kind of worked for the twist, but it was just her motivation behind it. Like there was no evidence that like supported for her to kill him in the first place.
Yeah, enough for her to like try to kill him.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it wasn't even, I think it might have helped a little bit if her motivation was like, I want Goni back in that way. But like it was a complete opposite.
If it was completely like that, but like he was already working with it. That's the thing.
Right? She just did it because she didn't like Pyong because he like, I don't know, like I said, treated her bad, or probably there was like some backstory that we have no idea about. But like, again, we have zero idea of what that is.
I would say that's like the weirdest thing going on there.
Agreed. Even the reveal of it was kind of what I said earlier, where it wasn't even like snuck in that she got caught, where they were sitting at the table and Aku was like, oh, like, how's your Pyong doing? And then she's like the first one to be like, oh, he died. His right hand is missing.
Yeah.
And then Goni's like,
how the hell do you know that? Yeah.
Like, I heard that and I was like, you gave yourself away so blatantly. Like,
yeah,
we're just moving the story along now. But yeah, that wasn't particularly strong. Mm. I would agree.
Did you like understand like the three like best gamblers?
Yeah, that kind of. So it was like Pyong, who he trained under.
Yeah.
Then there was 1 year.
Yeah.
And then there was Akui.
Yeah, Jackie and Akui.
Jackie and Akui.
Yeah.
Okay. I see.
Jackie.
Yeah. Gotcha. But yeah, they're like the best in like different kind of provinces, mm-hmm. apparently. And then basically Aki and Jackie played, and then Aki was like, give me that wrist and that ear.
Yeah.
And then he's going after, like, Aki is like, I want Pyong next. And Pyong is like, I'm not gonna play you.
Basically, yeah. It's weird. Like, it's not like, it's this weird thing where they're never explicitly, like, they never explicitly need to play each other.
You're right.
And they're not obligated to do anything with each other. But they're just like, hey, if ever there is a moment that happens, you know, I'm going to be there.
I'm going to know. Yeah. Even for, like, Aqui, where it's, like, his like, thing, right, is if I catch you cheating, and I will catch you cheating, like, say goodbye to your hand or whatever. He's like, we're going to bet, like, your life, essentially, on it. But then when it comes down to when we see that moment happen, like, it's not even his orchestrated game. Like, he just puts himself in the game. You know, like, there's no, like, official rule backing it, you know? He's just like, this is just how I do things. And this is how it's going to be if I'm playing.
No, it's how they do things in the underworld. It's the rules of the law. It's the laws of the world. The underworld.
So it's all like unofficial, you know, officially unofficial. Yeah.
Unofficially official.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think this movie, it's just like a fun movie to watch, I think, like in terms of like, you know, having those kind of twists happen and, you know, that kind of intrigue of, oh, how is he gonna swindle the other people into getting more money?
Yeah.
And there is like this almost like instinctual like attraction towards gambling that people have, I think, right? And just like that possibility of like making a lot of money.
Right.
And I think that this movie really kind of taps into all of that. And mm-hmm. kind of puts it in a very fun way, like, you know, having like the three best gamblers and that kind of like
the legends of the land.
Yeah, the legends. Like, yeah. And like that cool like arc of this like naive kid.
Yeah.
You know, finally like going under the master and learning how
like
learning the tricks of the trade and all that.
Gambling movies are just like one to one hero's journey. Because like you have like the kid who maybe learns like under the master here. And there's always, like, the high and low. Like, you're going to lose money and you're going to be at the bottom. And then you want to work your way up to the top by trying to gamble it, you know. And it always works, like, here. he gets all the money, and there's like a really high point in his life. You know, he's like rich and he's happy, just like getting money.
He's finally about to leave the world of the gambling, and then.
But then he like gets blinded and chases more.
Yeah.
And then, boom! Something happens that calls him back to like the gritty, like whatever. You know?
Like he loses his loved one or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like my last time I'm gonna ever do this.
Something calls me back.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it works like really well as like storytelling wise. It's pretty attracting.
Yeah.
What did you think of Goni though as a character?
I like him. I liked him as a character. He's very charismatic. The actor is, I think, great in this role.
Yeah.
And
the return of Cho Sung-woo.
Right? Yeah. And what I liked actually was his interaction with. His side character.
Oh, okay.
And just like their playful banter that they have.
Kwang.
Yeah, I forget his name.
Kwang is the guy. Yeah.
But the guy with the glasses and he's like the sidekick.
We're from the same town.
Yeah,
brother.
But we're not. Yeah, but I just like their chemistry. Like I think that really made the movie, a lot of the movie work.
Mm-hmm.
Just like even you know when. They first kind of have that meeting when Goni's playing with him and like the police all come and they're like trying to like block the police from coming in and they escape through the top.
Yeah.
And he's like, just like, leave me alone.
He's watching out. He's like watching out for his own back.
And he's like, yo, my little brother, let's go. We can be a team.
We can be a team.
We can take all the money from.
We both know the tricks.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, and he's like, oh, do you know who I am? I'm a Tatcha. And he's like, wow. Oh, you mean like this? And he like takes the cards out of his ear.
And he's like, we can make it big. We should team up, you know?
Yeah. Well, like his comedic relief, I think that's really great.
Right.
Just in general.
You got to have that naive, like, sidekick.
Yeah. And even like all the stuff with like the coffee house, the little, you know, the girls in the coffee
place. Yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, they have like the double date and stuff like that. That was funny.
That's funny.
Yeah,
nice little arc for him.
And just the how they're like drinking in that like coffee house whatever. The baddies like show up all of a sudden and they're like hiding in the back and trying to act chill.
Low key.
Yeah.
Hey, bring out the blue label.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, what's expensive?
Vodka? Ah. Yeah. Bring out the brown.
But I liked that chemistry between the two characters.
Yeah, it worked really well.
Yeah.
Goni has like a really big change too. Like, I like the fact that. He's like a really naive character in the beginning, and then he really changes to like the charming, like swindler type.
Yeah, he has a really big range. That's why I like him as an actor. Like he can play that really naive character, but he can also kind of play that like I'm too cool for you kind of character. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I'm as cool as I.
And
know
and anyone. and it works. You know, sometimes when they try to play that off, you're like kind of cringe.
You can feel the fake on it.
Yeah.
No, but here it's really good. It's just funny like seeing him from the classic and then to here. It's like all you did was throw on a mustache and then you're like, swing.
I'm a different dude.
Yeah. Just like completely changed personas.
This is 2006, right?
Yeah.
When was classic? 2001 or two?
I think one.
Yeah, something like that. So
5 years.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big chunk. Is that how long it took him to grow a mustache?
Maybe.
Even the guy who plays Kwang, Ju Hae-jin.
Yeah.
Man, that guy's like baby face here. Like he's
young. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's been.
Because I see him a lot like, you know, newer movies, but he's really young here. Which is kind of funny. Everybody's pretty young.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all the characters are really good, like between Madam Jung.
Madam Jung is from Signal.
Yes.
And not the movie drama you like.
Really good drama. Mm. Highly recommend.
Yeah. She has a really wide range too,
which
is pretty cool. And it kind of works too, especially in her character where she like pretends to be like, and yeah. you know, pretends to be this like dainty, naive girl.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then when and she's then the girlfriend. She, yeah, the... and then you know when she's real, like she's just this like thug. Yeah.
she's the boss girl.
She's just girl like boss. A thug.
She's yeah. the what is it? The beautiful blade, beautiful knife, or something. Yeah. Pretty knife. I think that's what they said. Yeah. Where the translation was. Yeah, she did pretty good. Even like Pyong was good. Akui was kind of a cool character, even though there was like 5 minutes of him in the movie.
I feel like they could have done a little bit more with him.
I think, see, like Jung was kind of a problem for me in what we talked about. Akui, his character is fine, but like the everything like surrounding Akui, the fact that he's supposed to be the bad guy, like that never really like came through as it should have been, you know?
Yeah, it's like, not as prevalent. Yeah, like especially in the beginning. Where you kind of hear about it, right?
Right.
But there's never really like an inciting like incident per se that really makes you feel like, oh, like this guy is the guy like mm-hmm. when he needs to beat, right?
Right.
That I mean, never like, really fully comes out, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean like it's understood that you obviously assume that he killed Pyong, like his master, right? It kind of matches up with like the stories of him. And then that becomes Goni's motivation to go after him, but like it's that part that diminishes by the time we get back to Akui.
Yeah, no, but that, like even then it's like even Goni like left his master, right? Left his teacher, and so it's kind of like
that's what yeah
it's not as like it's not like oh he was learning under his teacher and then he killed him while he was learning under the teacher and you're like oh no my master is you know died by your hands, right? It's not like that. He was literally chilling with Madame Jung and you know making his money, and then he like hears about him falling off the train and losing his arm.
I just think that like Goni's like direction and like motivation changes a little too often in the movie.
Yeah, like even like after Madame Jung, he's like, oh no, I'm gonna take the money that I have and just, you know, chill with my new girlfriend, right?
Right, yeah.
And he's just like, okay.
After like a couple seconds of like soul searching.
Yeah, and then like, he's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just give my money to, like the money that I have to like my sister. Yeah.
Which was like the reason why the movie started in the first place.
And so like after that point, you're like, okay, so what's his reason to do anything now? And then, you know, the whole,
but that's like it's like he's and... like forcibly drawn in to like do what he was supposed to do from the start, right? Because like, well, one, he started gambling and like learned at a Pyong to pay back his sister and like just to get out of his own debt as well. And then by the time he like starts making money and meets Jung, like then he moves on to something else, like that's no longer important.
Yeah.
And then once Pyong dies, he leaves Jung to find Akui to get revenge, and that brings us to like the present time again. But then that gets diminished after we meet like the girlfriend, and then like the accidents happen, and he's like, I should just settle down in life. And then we finally pay back the sister, but by that time it's like not that important or that not that significant.
Yeah, like, it's not like a big deal. And like there's a bigger rivalry between the smaller fry dude who was the one who like was messing with the girlfriend and like making sure like you know Goni you know plays with them or else he's gonna like you know do bad things in the coffee house and stuff, right?
Yeah,
he felt like more of a rival to Goni.
Yes.
In terms of maybe not their like skill level, but just like the tension, how they you know like pointed you know the two characters towards each other.
Yes.
Whereas Aki kind of felt like he just kind of fell from the sky, like as a villain. Like we always knew that he was like this big bad dude of legend, but never really in the story fully.
Right.
And then like at the end, you know, when you know the master dies and like all that stuff happens, you're like, okay,
he's gonna go after that guy.
Yeah.
But then he like kind of gives it up, and then he's forced to like face Akui.
Yeah, even the reason why Akui like came was because
Kwak died,
but like also like he figured out that his Goni's sidekick, his friend, was like cheating. Right, that's like the way that they kind of like Juru Koni into, you know, meeting him at the end.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's just kind of like forced to kind of come back in.
Exactly.
Yeah, because he wanted, but like, yeah, but then the reason why Aki was even there in the first place was for Goni because of the sidekick. It was like, I want revenge on Goni. And he was like, all right, I'll see what I can do. And then like ended up back at that table with the game and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's like the real villain was like just this like little guy here that became his rival by the end, who was like, I don't like you because you punched me in the, you broke my nose. So it's, I don't know, it's like too many moving parts in a way that, you know, it's easier if it's like one thing to kind of follow along, but along the course of the movie, there's just so many things that kind of
happen. If you think too much in this movie, you're like, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you had just shut off your brain while watching it. None of these problems occurred until I had to go back and kind of review. And I was like, wait a minute. Did Goni even get his car back?
Exactly. Where he like stored all his money for some reason.
Yeah.
And like the private detective, he like somehow figured that out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he was ordered to steal the car.
Oh, from Madame Jung?
Yeah.
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 So I guess Madame Jung knew already.
She knew. Which is like fine, like, all right, I kind of get it, but he never got there. He never got the car back at the end.
Like, you never know.
Maybe. Sequel?
They just don't tell you.
He does end up in America. How did he pay his way over there?
He got the money at the end, remember?
Oh, yeah, from the game.
Yeah.
No, but that was in a backpack, and it just all fell out, remember?
No, he put some money, remember? He had like a...
Oh, like some, like sure, sure.
And then he had the backpack money as well.
And that one, that the backpack money was the one.
He's like, I'm going to take this amount for something. I forget exactly what he said, but he's like, I'm going to take this. And he puts it in his clothes and he takes the bag. It's like, and he was going to leave, but then the madam was like talking, and then he's like, oh, I'm going to burn all your money then.
What'd you say? You want money? Then he went Joker.
All right, then. I'm just going to burn all your money.
He went Dark Knight on
her. I'm going to leave.
How about this for your money?
Yeah.
And then she shot him. I was like, ooh.
Hey, the weird thing for that like climactic scene, too, was like the guy, it's basically Aki's like second hand, like right hand man. He has the hammer, right?
Yeah.
He basically hits the hammer down, and then like that's it. We never like get, we never know what happened to Aki.
That I noticed too. Yeah. So wait, but like at the very end, when, cause like, Jung is the narrator, right, for the movie,
Madame Jung,
and then they assume that Goni died in the thing, and then she identifies the false body. Whose body was that?
Well, no, she falsely testifies that it's Koni, but that's not Koni.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the guy who fell with the with Koni on the train.
Oh.
Who was like with the knife.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's why when you see the tattoo, that's how you kind of know, you know.
I didn't know that this is him. I didn't know that he had that tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
That's why. Okay. So it was the rival,
the
sidekick guy. Gotcha. Okay, I write that one off.
Yeah, but it's weird because like you know Aki is that big bad dude,
and we don't know anything.
Yeah, just you know his hand gets blown off, like it just can gets you know hammered, and that's it.
He gets like that one divine justice moment.
Yeah,
loses his own hand, and then that's it. That's all he ever mattered.
Yeah.
In the movie.
I don't remember if he comes out in the second one or not. He might.
I mean, he's still alive.
I think he does come out. I forget though. He might though.
One Ear was cool when we met One Ear.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of a nice little moment.
Yeah.
Where like he's the senile little guy.
He's just like playing a game and he thinks like he's winning.
Mm.
And then
he's like, gotcha.
So I can read your heart. Oh, really? Dang.
How do you do that? Tell me how you do it.
Yeah.
I just don't look at him in the eye. I thought he was blind because, like, the way he was, like, looking, he's, like, his eyes were kind of closed.
Yeah.
But now he was just doing his thing.
Yeah, I think it would have been cool if there's a story that they make with the three guys, like a prequel of the three dudes.
The real story of Chucky.
Yeah. And what happened and stuff, you know?
I mean, they kind of incite it, right? He's like, so what happened between you and Akui? And he's like, I just lost an ear and a hand.
Yeah.
It'll happen to you too. Yeah. That's what happens when you're a toucha.
Yeah.
You just got to accept these things.
If you're in this business long enough.
If you're in this.
You'll eventually lose something.
You saw what happened to Pyong, right? They got him. They got him too. I know we talked about before when we were like doing the series. Were you gonna pick like all three? You're just gonna be like, you know what?
I was saying like that would be so easy to do. You know? I'd just be like, okay, we'll just do all three.
Here you go. That's the series.
Yeah.
Done and done. And then we'll wrap it up with the TV series. Uh-huh. All four.
Dang. Right there. That would be a lot to watch.
Probably like a 20 episode series.
21, I think.
21. Jeez.
Oof. The drama's not that bad either, but obviously it's longer, so
right.
There's more like character building, I guess.
Mm.
But there's a lot of fluff too, naturally.
They gotta keep it going one way or another.
There's a like a love story in there, a bigger love story thing going on, and they have this thing where I think if I remember correctly, it's more about Kuni, and he has like a best friend.
Okay.
And basically they turn into rivals kind of thing.
Oh.
I think that's part of the story, if I'm not mistaken, but.
That sounds interesting. The romance here was kind of mid though.
In this movie?
In this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, whatever, dude. Was it even a romance?
I feel like they really try to like make like the... like the actual girlfriend, not Jung, but
Coffee Girl.
Coffee Girl. I had her name written down somewhere.
What's her name again? I forget.
Like Huang. What? Like fuck. What was it? I had it written down somewhere here.
Anyway.
Like they like really try to put like, oh, this is the settling down kind of girl. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They had that moment, and like also with, like. Like at the climax, right? They used them as like the bait.
Collateral,
like,
yeah.
Like it all kind of felt like a big deal, like important part of his life. But I don't know. He just kind of.
Yeah, I mean, even at the end, he's just chilling.
And like... he like abandons everything. At the end, he's just like, I'm out.
Don't matter about his family. Don't matter about his girlfriend. Whatever. I'm just gonna do more gambling.
It's just funny that like we started one way with Goni, and then by the end, he's just like. Forget that life.
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling.
I got my money at the end of the day, and that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
And I still have all my fingers. that is a good one. I recommend it. Easy to come by. It's a classic. Let's see if the rest of the series lives up.
What is our next movie?
It is The God of Gamblers.
Tacha 2.
That's what it sounds like. Oh, this is the movie that's about the three hotshots, the gods of gambling.
Is it gods?
Or is it God? No, singular god. let me fix that title for them here. Hang on. this is definitely yours, 1989.
Not mine though. I didn't pick it.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
This was a group effort, actually.
Yeah, it was. It was hard to find.
As big as like gambling is in like Asia, particularly like China, there are hardly any movies.
We wanted to find like a lot more specifically just like gambling. Because like we could find a lot of like heist kind of movies.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
But like making it more specific to like that kind of gambling aspect of it.
Yeah. Another thing too is
or, like games.
Another thing too is interesting is that like I know nothing about the game. Was it Huate?
Huatu.
Huatu? Like, but I still don't know nothing about that game.
Yeah, I mean.
But it did a good job of like incorporating like everything else into it.
Yeah.
That like really hooked you.
Well, you can just generally get the idea. It's kind of like even when you're watching like, let's say poker.
Right.
And you don't know how to play poker. You can still get the idea of like, oh, this person's winning, this person's looting.
Yeah, you still understand the tension of the game. Yeah, the tension, right? Yeah.
Which is important.
Right. at the end of the day. So I did a really good job of doing that. But here, I feel like it was a little simpler, like 7 points. I got 8 points.
Yeah.
You lose. Like, stuff like that. But yeah, that was pretty good. God of Gamblers is for next week. I have no idea. Directed by Wong Jing. Yeah. And yeah, I've never seen this. I've never heard of this.
Same? Yeah.
She'd be surprised.
I think this the one we watched today was the only one that I watched.
Oh, okay.
Of all the ones in the series.
Oh, that's right. And then I've only seen March Comes in Like a Lion, which would be our last one. Yeah. So next week, The God of Gamblers. I'm going to say like gambling, but like it sounds like a boss of like the crew versus like the actual game. You know, he's like, I'm in charge of the underworld.
Yeah.
And like facility. That's what it sounds like it's going to go to. But we'll figure it out then. Other than that, a quick shout out to our Patreon page. If you want to hear future episodes in advance, a week ahead before anybody else, come and sign up, as well as exclusive episodes and other goodies.
Yeah.
Other than that, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Bye.